of rule and politics, but the kingdom of God is opposite to a democracy. You know, here, if you don't like the government, you go and protest, or if you don't like it, and they legislate and they have debates in parliament. You know, there's this side and that side, and they argue and debate and come up with new bills and try and pass laws. But the kingdom of God is not like that. The kingdom of God, there is a king who has dominion. That's how we get the word kingdom. The king who has dominion. And he has dominion over his territory. Now, going back, if you go back into history, like a few hundred years ago, there was a lot of kingdoms taking territory. If you look at, say, the British, the French, and the Spanish, and you look at a lot of the world, has been taken over by those kingdoms. I mean, they're all, the kingdoms have gone and they're democracies now and there. But back when there was kings, and they were, the idea of a kingdom is you take territory. Now, we have a king. He has his kingdom, and he wants to take territory. We are his territory. Because a kingdom needs a king who has dominion over his territory. We are his territory. Does he have dominion over your territory? His kingdom only works through his absolute power. And the kingdom is the mind, the will, and the intent of the king. That's the law. Jesus didn't come to abolish the law. He came to fulfill the law. And he says not one dot will be taken away from the law. So the law hasn't been demolished. And if anything, like Jesus says, you know, the law says an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But he took it further than that. And like he said, if a brother compels you to walk 1 mile, walk two. The law says don't commit adultery. I say if you look upon a woman with lust, you've committed adultery. So, you know, if anything, the law became harder under Christ. But he demands that he has dominion over us. And, you know, a king, you know, we don't see it today because we live in democracy, but go back in history, you know, even like King David and King Solomon, the king owned everything. If you were in the kingdom, you belonged to the king. Your house was the king's. Your property was the king's. Everything was the king's. But he allowed you to live in your house and to work and to do things, but it all belonged to the king. Now, are we in the kingdom of God? Jesus says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things that I say?" To be in the kingdom, everything belongs to the king. Everything. And there's a culture. Kingdoms have culture. Like, if you go back, like what I was talking about, where different kings were taking over different territories in the world, what did they do? They set up their culture. Like when the British take over a country, or the French, or the Spanish, or whoever it might be, the Dutch, they would set up their culture in that country. They would put their governor, and the people would begin to dress, they would begin to eat, they would begin to drink the way the from the country, from that same culture. And you know, the most important thing was the language. The language. Now, there's a language in the kingdom. God has given us a language. You know, back in the beginning with Adam, God dwelt on earth. And Adam was walking through the garden, and there was the presence of God. And he says, "Adam, Adam, where are you?" Because of the fall of Adam, God left the earth. Because Adam now had come against the kingdom. He wasn't under the authority. And then only a few, like the, we know about the flood, and then not long after that, the people were all still of one language. In Genesis 11, it says the whole world had one language and one speech. And they moved out east, and they came to a plain, and they said to themselves, let's build a city and a tower, but who to? Not to God. Let's build it unto ourselves and unto our name, so that we won't be scattered, so that, you know, we'll make a name for ourselves. We will be one people. And God saw this, and do you know what he said? If one people speaking one language determine in their mind, they can do anything. Now think about that as kingdom living. Think about that as kingdom living. If one people with one language and one mind can do anything. And you know, they made bricks. They didn't use natural stone. They made their own, they did it their own way. And they started to build this tower. And God said, let us go down. So God was on the earth before, but he said, let us. So the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit all came down to confuse their language. And everyone then had their own language, and they were all, they couldn't understand each other. And, you know, they called it the Tower of Babel. But, you know, if you're, today we get the word Babel. You know, if you're babbling, I can't understand you. And that's where it comes from. They couldn't understand each other. You're babbling. God confused their speech. One speech, one God, one kingdom can do anything. Hallelujah. Now, God has given us one speech. He has given us his speech. He's put his word, he's put his culture. Now, like, we need the culture of the kingdom. The kingdom is a place. We are the temple. He is within us, and he wants us to take territory. It's kingdom living. And the kingdom is a culture in the kingdom, like we, you know, what am I trying to say? About giving. Because if everything belongs to the king, if your house belongs to the king, your car belongs to the king, your clothes belong to the king, your money belongs to the king, you don't have a problem giving back to the kingdom. But, you know, when Jesus taught us how to pray in Matthew. Actually, in the first few books of Matthew wraps up so well all, you know, all God's intent, kingdom living, and what God's plan is. And when Jesus taught us how to pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. On earth as it is in heaven. In us as it is in heaven. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Now, his will is his mind and his intent and his thoughts. And that's his law. And for his will to be done, we have to be righteous. Now, to be righteous, we're doing what he's called us to do. Being righteous is simply walking in obedience. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things that I say? Because he is not Lord unless you do what he says. You know, Queen Esther, she came before the king. Now, to approach the king was death. She approached the king. He held out the scepter and she touched it. And she came into his presence. But there was, back in those days, there was a fear of the king. You didn't step out of line. Like, we live in a democracy, we can vote in, we can vote out, we don't really care what the, they don't have any control, we do what we want. But in the kingdom of God, you do what you're told. And if you don't do what you're told, you're not in the kingdom. It's either in, you're either in or you're out. And who was against Jesus? It was the religious. It was the Pharisees. It was the scribes. Because religion and kingdom are opposite. Just as democracy and kingdom is opposite, religion and the kingdom of God are opposites. And Jesus preached kingdom. You know, John the Baptist, he said, prepare the way of the Lord in Matthew. I baptize with water, but he will baptize you with the fire and the Holy Ghost. And when Jesus, after he had his 40 days, and the devil took him up, and then he came back and he started his ministry, what was the first thing he said in Matthew 4:17? Yes. Jesus began to preach and he says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And that's, Jesus preached that all the way through. You know, we preach a lot about you must be born again. But Jesus didn't actually preach that. Nicodemus, who was a Pharisee, came to Jesus privately at night. And he came privately at night because the Pharisees hated Jesus. And if he knew, if his mates knew that he'd went to see Jesus, he would have been kicked out of the church. So he came to Jesus at night. Now, he was a Pharisee. He was in the council. He was a learned man. But he did not understand the kingdom at all, because religion and kingdom are opposite. And he comes to Jesus and he says, we know that you are from God. We see the signs and we understand that you are from God. And Jesus just turned around and said to him, unless a man is born again, you cannot enter the kingdom. And it just went straight over his head. He says, well, how can a man enter his mother's womb and be born again? It's impossible. And Jesus said that flesh brings forth flesh, and the spirit brings forth the spirit. But he couldn't understand it. But, you know, Jesus was always preaching kingdom. Now, the kingdom is his reign. Like, we spoke about reign this morning and dominion. When God put man upon the earth, he said, you shall have dominion over the earth, over the animals, and over... Now, to be in God's kingdom, he has dominion over us. It's a place of authority. It's a place of power. And because religion and kingdom are opposite, when Jesus was ministering, there was a centurion who was a Roman soldier, came to Jesus and said, my servant is ill, paralyzed unto death. And Jesus says, do you want me to come and heal him? And what was his response? He says, no, I'm not worthy for you to come under my roof. Just say the word and he will be healed. For I too am a man under authority. I say to this one, do it. I say to this one, go. This one, come here. And he does it. Just say the word and he will be healed. Hallelujah. And you know what Jesus said? I have not seen such faith in all of Israel. What Jesus saw in Israel was guys like Nicodemus, people who didn't understand the kingdom. And Jesus went on to say, many will come from the east and from the west. The kingdom is a place of authority. The kingdom is a king with dominion in his territory. We are the territory. And kingdoms take territory. You know, in King David's time, it was the season for the kings to go to battle. That's what kingdoms do. They take territory. Are you taking territory? Are you in the kingdom? Are you taking territory? Dominion, power, ruling and reigning. You know, Jesus also talked about what the kingdom is not. He says the kingdom is not food and clothing, your house, your car, what you shall wear, what you shall eat. He said, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed as the lily of the field that is here today and gone tomorrow. Don't you think your Father knows your needs? But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. First. And what was the first thing that Jesus said? Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. So there has to be repentance and there has to be obedience. Now, repentance is turning away. Repentance is not crying and saying, oh, I'm sorry, and going and do the same thing again tomorrow, 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 tomorrow. Repentance is to turn away. When Jesus healed, quite often Jesus would say, you're healed, go and sin no more. Because it's righteousness. Righteousness. Remember when Jesus said, they came to Jesus and he said, I didn't know you? And he says, they said, oh, but we prophesied in your house. We served in your house. We were at church every Sunday. We did this, we did that. Depart from me, I did not know you. Obedience. Don't say, Lord, Lord, and do not do the things that I say. Being in the kingdom is being under his dominion. And in the kingdom, there's not two sides. There's not Labor and not Liberal. There's not a democracy. There's no debating. There's no voting. Whatever comes out of his mouth is it. And that's it. You're either in or you're out. Like Queen Esther, you come before the king and it's off with your head if you're not in the right place. Now, that's a scary thing, but this is the kingdom of God. We were singing this morning about his rule and his reign. His rule and his reign is real. His kingdom is real. The difference on earth is, even with kingdoms, the next generation, everyone thinks a bit differently, everyone acts a bit differently. And, you know, I'm in my 60s now, and I can see such a cultural change in Australia over the last, well, even it's happening quickly, but over my lifetime, what I remember as a boy and the way I see people now is a big change. But God does not change. He's the same mind. Because politicians come and go very quickly, each one has a different thinking and culture changes very quickly. But the culture of the kingdom does not change. God was on the throne at the beginning and he's on the throne at the end. His kingdom is not shaken. His kingdom has no, there's no threat to his kingdom. There's no opposition who can come and overthrow the government. The government is upon his shoulders. He is supreme. His authority, his power cannot be challenged. And to be in the kingdom is to be under his law, under his rule, under his reign, and submit to him. And to speak his language and to have his culture. He put his nature and his culture into his people. We reflect his nature and his culture because he's put his spirit within us. We are Christ-like because of who he is. But we have a will. And we have to submit, not my will, but thy will be done. This is the kingdom. How to bring the kingdom is not my will. You know, I have rights that, you know, I deserve this. You know, I'm standing up, I'm voting. This is what I want. I'm going to build a tower unto my name. It doesn't work. It brings destruction. You'll be babbling. You won't be speaking the same language. God has put his language in you. And the religion and the kingdom. You know, Jesus said, you know, how the religious love to pray with many words and to stand up and to be seen. But he says, when you pray, go into your room and shut the door. And what the Father sees in secret, he will reward openly. But the religious love to be seen and pray and go on. You think, what? Like, just that's enough. But they go on with, and you think many words is going to impress God? You think getting emotional and shaking and crying is going to impress God? God has the constitution. He has a law, and his law, like the centurion understood it, just say the word, and my servant will be healed. He didn't come up pleading and crying and you know, going on and on and on and on. Just say the word. It was very quick. Kingdom and religion are different. Democracy and kingdom are different. Kingdom is a place of dominion. Does he have dominion over you? Are you submitted to him? Do you bow before the king? Do you give him honor? Do you give him glory? And in the kingdom, if you don't bow, you're out. The kingdom is a place where people are all of one language, of one mind. They take on the nature of the king. If you take on the nature of the king and you do what he says, you're in the kingdom of God. If you try and retain your own nature and do what you want, and this is my plan, and this is, you know, when Jesus was saying, do not care about what you wear, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, where you shall live. If that's your priority, you're not in the kingdom. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. If you seek first, what am I going to wear? What am I going to drink? Where am I going to live? That's not kingdom living. If you put God second and what you want first, you're not in the kingdom. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. That's a commandment. It's not advice. It's not, well, you know, this is a good idea. I think maybe we should try this. The kingdom's rule is absolute. The king's power is absolute. You can't question his power. You can't question his rule. You can't question his reign. And we need to be in his culture. You know, we've got a culture statement. And another thing with a democracy and with a kingdom, or with a religion and with a kingdom, with a religion, you can be a member of a religion. You might be a member of whatever church, or, but with the kingdom, you're a citizen. Now, to be a citizen, you're in the family. So there's a king and there's a royal family. And if you're in that royal family, your citizenship cannot be taken away. Your position as a citizen is secure in the kingdom because you're a son or a child of the king. And as family, you're a citizen. And it gives you position. It gives you a place. It gives you security. And it gives you a covering. Because when you're under the authority of the king and you're his child, he's got your back. And the king has all power and all authority. And if you're submitted to the king and you're walking in his house and you have him as your father, there's protection. There's seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added unto you. He'll look after you. But you don't come to the and think, well, you know, God will look after me. I'll do this and this and this and his hand will be upon me. You have to hand it all over. When you're in a kingdom, everything belongs to the king. You don't say, well, you know, this is mine. I'll have this and you can have that. Everything belongs to the king. And if you do say, well, this is mine and you can just, you know, I'll give you this one, but I want all this for myself, you're not in the kingdom. You cannot fool God. You cannot trick him. You can't play him. The end will be destruction. Look at the people in Babel, or it wasn't, I forget the name of the plane, but when they go to build that tower, we will do this unto ourselves. And they were one people with one accord and they had a plan. But what happened? It came to nothing. And they were scattered. They were scattered throughout the whole earth. And you know, Jesus, when he says about do not worry about what you shall eat or what you shall drink, he says this is what the Gentiles do. So in his kingdom, he doesn't want people to do that. That's the way of the world. The way of the world is to store up. We know the parable of the rich guy. And he says, my barns are full. Let me build bigger ones. I'm going to build bigger barns so I can store everything up. You know, put everything I own and I'm getting rich and rich and rich. And God said, you fool, tonight your life will be required of you. Can you take gold to heaven? Can you take property to heaven? Can you take dollars to heaven? What does Jesus say? Store up your riches in heaven. Yes. For where your treasure is, there your heart is also. Store it up in heaven. And how do you store up riches in heaven? Obedience. Walking in righteousness. Doing what the king says. And do you know the mind of Christ? Do you know his will? Do you know his thoughts? Do you know his intentions? Are you in prayer with him? Are you in communion with him? Because if you don't know the mind of Christ, how can you do the will of Christ? Because the will of Christ is the mind of Christ. And if you don't know his mind, how can you follow his will? There has to be that relationship. And you know, kingdom brings freedom. Religion brings bondage. Religion brings oppression. Kingdom brings freedom. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Look at how upset the Pharisees got. Jesus came on the scene, started preaching, and they got so angry and so upset, and they just plotted to kill him and to destroy him because it was so against what they wanted. They wanted the people under control. And, you know, they used to devour widows' houses and like to be praised and honored and stand up in the corners and the markets and preach and sing and pray and in the prominent positions. And they wanted all the glory. But the kingdom is different. The kingdom, you humble yourself. You don't seek any glory for yourself. Your desire is to see the kingdom established and to take territory for the kingdom. Submit unto him. Submit unto him. Don't seek anything for yourself. That's anti-God. So religion and kingdom are opposite. And they won't go together. And you know, religion is man's way. Kingdom is God's way. Religion was, you know, man gets so caught up in religion. You know, even Judas was tempted by the Pharisees, and they said, "Look, we'll give you 30 pieces of silver. Come and turn him in." So Judas was tempted by this. He goes to the Pharisees, hands Jesus over. They pay him the money, and then he regrets it. Throws the money back into the temple, takes his life. But it was the Pharisees that were behind it. When Jesus was called, when they took him before the Sanhedrin, Jesus said not a word. He said not a word. Because they had no authority over him. When he went before Pilate, he spoke. Pilate was the king. He spoke to Pilate. He didn't speak to the religious people. So remember, in the kingdom of God, that you are a citizen. And it's a birthright. If you are born of the Spirit, you are in the kingdom of God. He is your Father. You are a citizen of heaven. You are a citizen. A citizen gives you a position. It gives you power. It gives you a place. But only if you are under his dominion. Only if you are submitted to him. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things that I say? You're not in the kingdom unless he is Lord. You're in the kingdom when you bow. You're in the kingdom when you serve. You're in the kingdom when you worship. You're in the kingdom when you're living righteously. When you're doing what he says. When you hear his word, when you trust, when you obey, seek first the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We need to put him first in everything. Put him first in everything. Read the first few books of Matthew. First few chapters of Matthew. It's all there. From Matthew 3 through to Matthew 8. Jesus is talking about the kingdom. Jesus was preaching kingdom, kingdom, kingdom. We get caught up on other things. Like, he didn't preach grace, he showed grace. He didn't preach mercy, he showed mercy. He didn't preach about being born again, he spoke about the kingdom. The kingdom is a place, it's a government. The kingdom is a king who has dominion over his territory. He is within us. He is within. The kingdom of God is within. Think of yourself as the temple of God. respect, honor. If you get the mindset of the temple of God, you'll act differently. You'll talk differently. The culture. God wants to have a culture in his house. He wants us all speaking the same language. He wants us all to reflect his glory. But to reflect his glory, we have to submit. We have to worship. There's no vote. There's no debate. It's him. It's him, it's him, it's him. And being in a democracy, it's harder for us to understand because, you know, if you grew up in a kingdom, if you grew up under King Solomon, or you would understand the kingdom a lot better because there'd be a reverence, there would be an honor, and you would not dare go against the king. There was no one in the kingdom who went against the king. They were all underground. They were gone. But do you think it's any different? Do you think you can fool God and go against him and live? You know, we've got a short time on earth. We're eternal. And when you look at 50, 60, 70, 80, 100 years compared to eternity, it's nothing. So you think, oh, how can I serve God my whole life? It's nothing. You know, in 10,000 years, where will you be? In 10,000 years, you know the story of the poor guy who used to eat from under the table and the rich guy, and they both died, and then the guy in hell says, oh, let me go back and warn them. He said, even if one raises from the dead, they will not listen. It's real. It's real. There's a heaven and there's a hell. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek ye first repentance. Repentance is the foundation. You cannot enter the kingdom without repentance. And repentance is to turn away, to walk in a different direction. Turn away from evil and be obedient to the word. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things that I say? For him to be Lord, we need to be submitted to him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Well, be encouraged, everyone. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I thank you that your kingdom is forever. Lord, I thank you that we have a way into your kingdom. That we have a way that we can repent, that we can turn, that we can humble ourselves, and we can serve. Lord, that you have made a way of escape from death into life. You have given us keys to enter the kingdom. Hallelujah. And Lord, we see it as such a gift, a joyous occasion, when we can put off death and come into life. Lord, we come humbly before you. We know that we are not worthy. We know that our righteousness is as filthy rags. Oh, Father, Lord, we thank you that your scepter is extended towards us. Lord, that we can come before you and enter into your house. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. thank you for your Spirit. Oh, thank you, Lord. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Yes. Thank you, David.
Thank you, David. Praise the Lord. God is good. Amen. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. So, who wants some homework? Who would like some homework? Most people are saying no. Read Revelations chapter 2. Revelations chapter 2. Give me your Bible. And you can personally text me, or we can discuss it next week, because I'm preaching next week. Revelation chapter 2. Honestly, you've got the smallest print Bible out. And I'm going to read from... Oh, that's the Amplified Bible. Very long-winded, darling. Revelation 2. This is the New King James. Revelation chapter 2, and we're going to read, I want you to read. Verse 22. No, not that one. No. Read verse 20 of chapter of 1. Then you read this one. Verse 2, verse 5. Chapter 1, verse 20, then 2, verse 5. That's your homework for next week, because that's what I'll be preaching on. Chapter 1, verse 20, then chapter 2, Revelation 1, verse 20. Then chapter 2, verse 5. Okay, are we good? Let's have some soup. Let's have some coffee. Let's have some fellowship. I've made pea and ham soup this morning. The one person used to had my soup 3 times and she couldn't walk for a week. Yeah, she had to be near the toilet all the time. So please only have one cup, otherwise it will have some adverse effects. Amen. But there will be a thorough cleansing if you keep going. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Have a good week, successful week in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, David.